Welcome to Simply Save, Money Control's weekly personal finance podcast where we discuss all things money. I'm your host Preeti Kulkarni, and today we'll turn our attention to an all-important annual ritual that no taxpayer can afford to skip. That is filing income tax returns. So July 31st, the due date for filing IT returns for the financial year 23-24, that is the assessment year 24-25, is drawing closer, and so is the deadline for tax deductors such as employers to issue Form 16 to their employees, that is June 15th. So once you receive your Form 16, there is no reason to delay commencing the process of filing tax returns. It's better to do so as soon as possible rather than waiting till the last minute. So to understand the nitty-gritties of the process, particularly from salary taxpayers' perspective and mistakes that they ought to avoid, we have with us today Moshami Nagar Sankar, partner, Deloitte India. Welcome to the show, Moshami. It's great to have you on Simply Save for the first time and at a very important juncture when the tax return filing season has started.
Thank you, Priti. It's a pleasure talking to you on this very important topic.
Thank you. So, as we were discussing, the return filing season has started and the Income Tax Department, of course, had enabled all utilities back in April. But for salary taxpayers in particular, because they'll receive their Form 16 now, what do you think is the ideal time to complete this process?
See, the due date to file the tax returns, if we are talking about financial year 23-24, which is assessment year 24-25, The due date is 31st July for salaried individuals.
Right.
The tax return has to be filed on or before that date. But I would say it is advisable to file the tax return well in advance to avoid any last-minute rush. You know, the income tax portal tends to be slow due to very high traffic that it experiences in the last week. And there could be other exigencies like power failures, heavy rain, flooding. And I would say it is best not to wait beyond mid-July to file tax returns. Now, employers also issue Form 16 to employees by 15 June. And hence, employees can target filing their returns as soon as possible, anytime after that. Another aspect is, to file a tax return, we need to take into account the entries in the Form 26AS and the Annual Information Statement, which is called AIS, and the Taxpayer Information Statement, which is TIS. And these statements require to be downloaded from the Income Tax Portal. One has to refer to these statements to make sure that the income and the taxes deducted during the year are properly, correctly reflecting in these statements. Now, these statements also generally get updated with complete information about mid-June or the latter part of June. So, okay. I would say it's a good time to file the tax return once the Form 16s are issued, and not wait till the last date or the last week to file the tax return.
All right. Now, coming to step two, after you all have all your basic documents in order, Form 26AS, AIS, bank account statement, could you elaborate on the importance of selecting the right ITR form? We are talking from the salaried taxpayer's perspective. How do they go about selecting the right ITR form? How do they pick between ITR 1 and 2? Why is it important to select the right ITR form?
Very pertinent question, Preeti. What the tax department has done is they have prescribed income tax return forms, or ITRs as we call them, for different taxpayers based on various criteria. So let's say residential status, or the type of income, or the quantum of income, or even the disclosures that a taxpayer is required to make in his tax return. So there are different forms based on different circumstances of the taxpayer. ITR 1 is the simplest of the forms, and it is applicable to individuals who are resident and ordinary residents of India and whose taxable income does not exceed 50 lakh rupees. Now, this someone who uses ITR 1 should not have any income from any sources outside India. And the sources also can be salary or income from one house property and income from other sources, that is family pension or agricultural income or interest on savings, fixed deposit. Now, ITR 1 is quite simple. And in fact, in the online utility on the income tax portal, some of the data will already be pre-filled, making the filing process quite easy. But Preeti, as the complexity of the income increases or the assets increase, the reporting requirements also increase, right? So ITR 2 is a much more detailed form, which is applicable by and large to salaried individuals if it is not ITR 1 and ITR 2. So who should file ITR 2? If the individual has more than one house property, or if the individual has capital gains and dividend income, or there are losses which have to be reported on account of sale of assets, or the income is more than 50 lakhs, like ITR 1 was for less than 50 lakhs, ITR 2 is for more than 50 lakhs, or if the individual has assets that he holds outside India, which have to be disclosed in the return, or there is income from outside India, so that is like foreign income, foreign dividends, foreign interest. Or if the individual is going to claim any benefit under a double taxation avoidance agreement between India and any other country. So it could be a foreign tax credit for tax which is paid in another country, or it could be exemption under a tax treaty with another country. These are the individuals who should use an ITR 2. Or an ITR 2 actually is also applicable if an individual is a director in any company, because he has to disclose his directorship, or he is holding unlisted shares in any company, or individuals who are non-residents or not ordinary residents. So you see, there are various criteria which are prescribed, and therefore selecting the form, the correct form, becomes very important. Now, to your question, Preeti, about what happens if I select the wrong form?
Yeah.
I would say that you will end up disclosing too much, or you would end up not disclosing what you had to disclose. Let's take an example. Let's say you are a salaried employee who owns some foreign shares which were allotted to you under an ESOP plan of a multinational employer. Right? Now, in this case, if you file your tax return in ITR 1, the form is not going to request you for any foreign asset details, because that schedule is not there in that form. So you will end up filing your return without disclosing those foreign shares. And if this comes to light, this could attract steep penalties for non-disclosure of foreign assets. The reverse case: if you select ITR 2 when you should have selected ITR 1, you could end up filling out too much information, a more detailed and a more complicated form where it is not required. And in fact, in some cases, we have seen that when the wrong form is selected, it is treated as a defective return.
Okay.
So I would say it is very important to give careful consideration while selecting the return form that you're going to file your tax return in.
All right. And apart from selecting the wrong ITR form, and you explained the consequences as well, what are the other mistakes, or even, let's say, even deliberate omissions that can trigger notices from the income tax department?
I would say being careless while filing a tax return could actually result in a long drawn out rectification proceeding with the tax authority or litigation with the tax authorities. And therefore, I would say that when you are filing a tax return, it is very important to be careful at that juncture. So let's take a few examples of cases which could trigger notices and lead on to litigation. So we spoke about the Form 26AS and AIS-TIS, right?
Yeah.
these forms have a history of the transactions that have been undertaken by the taxpayer, which have to go into the tax return. Now, these need to be referred to and they need to be reconciled by filing the tax return. Any deviation from these statements will get caught when the return is being processed online, and it will trigger a notice to the taxpayer. So, for example, the AIS-TIS will have details of shares or mutual funds sold by the individual. Let's say that individual fails to report that transaction of the sale of shares. This will get picked up when his return is processed, and it will trigger a notice that the sale of shares has not got reported in your tax return. Okay. Another example could be the claim of deductions or exemptions. So every deduction or exemption that we claim needs, like, you know, we claim life insurance premium payment, medical insurance premium,
right,
housing payments, all these deductions, it is important that we have the documentary evidence. We reconcile or match the deductions or exemptions that we are going to claim with this documentary evidence, so that when we claim the deduction in the return and it is corroborated with the information that the insurance company files or the bank files, or it matches. We have seen cases where, for example, there are fictitious rent payments which are claimed. When a claim like this is put, but it does not match with what the employer or the tenant has claimed in his return, or the landlord has declared, when it does not match, this could trigger tax notices to the payer.
Correct.
Same could happen with fake donations. So they could attract notices from the tax authority.
Right.
One other point, Priti, is and which is gaining immense importance, is reporting of foreign assets. So foreign asset is an asset which is held outside India. It could be a bank account, simply a bank account outside India, or shares of foreign companies that we spoke about, or a property outside India, investments, anything, or even pension accounts held outside India. And it doesn't matter whether any income is generated from that asset or not. A reporting of any foreign asset held by a person who is ordinary resident in India is mandatory. We tend to believe that the India tax authorities will not know about assets held outside India, but that is not the correct position. The India tax authorities receive information of assets held outside India from the other country's tax authorities under what we call information exchange agreement that India has signed with other countries. And based on this information that they receive, if they find that that asset is not reported in the return that the individual has filed, this triggers tax notices to the taxpayer. Now, since we're talking about foreign assets, a common mistake when we claim foreign tax credit is as regards filing of the Form 67. So anyone who is claiming any credit for a tax that he has paid outside India needs to file an additional form called a Form 67.
Okay.
Not filing this form, or incorrect filing of the Form 67, again, could trigger notices, and with, of course, denial of the foreign tax credit in the first place. We could talk about a few more mistakes, Priti, if we have the time.
Sure, Mautami. Please go ahead.
So sometimes what happens is that when we look at our AIS-TIS, we find that there are details reported there which don't pertain to us. For example, there could be a rental income showing in my AIS-TIS, which I have not actually received. So we tend to ignore that, just go ahead and file our return, because that is not my income. It's not in my bank account. But that is not the correct approach. What we have to do is we have to use the online functionality on the income tax portal, and we have to file an online response stating our disagreement to that incorrect information. Because if we don't do that, then it will treat that information as the correct information. And since we've not reported that income in the return, it could trigger a notice to the taxpayer. Also, residential status, reporting of the correct residential status also is an important, as important as reporting the correct income, because based on the residential status, your scope of taxable income is decided. So if you end up selecting the wrong residential status, the scope of your taxable income could be different. Different rules will apply and could cause non-compliance, which could trigger a tax notice. So these were actually pretty some of the common mistakes that I wanted to talk about.
Right, yes, Mosmi, thanks a lot. In fact, all these are really insightful, and common errors that people could overlook only to end up with a tax notice later. Any other general advice on do's and don'ts while filing tax returns, particularly for salaried taxpayers?
Salaried taxpayers, common practice that I have come across is when someone changes a job, right, they receive two Form 16s from two employers. And both employers could have considered the basic exemption of taxation. So in result, what happens is when the person files his tax return, there could be a tax demand. So what I would like to say to anyone who has changed jobs is to be careful about the taxes that your second employer has deducted, because the basic exemption, the 2,50,000 up to which there is no tax, right? That if it is considered twice in the Form 16 by two employers, ultimately when you file your tax return, it will all come together, but you will get only one exemption of 2,50,000, not twice because there are two employers, and you will end up paying taxes. So when you change your job, keep a tab on what your second employer is doing. You need to make sure that he is not again considering the basic exemption and short deducting taxes.
Okay. All right, Mosmi, thanks a lot for all the insights. I'm sure our listeners will find them extremely useful. Coming at a time like this, sure, it will be very useful when they start filing their returns. Thanks a lot once again for being on Simply Save.
Pleasure.
Thank you so much, Mosmi.
And with that, it's a wrap on this edition of Simply Save. For more news, views and updates, do stay logged on to moneycontrol.com.